Everybody. How are you? Is everyone good? Is everyone relatively warm? I'm not that warm. I don't know where to put a jumper on. I'm quite cold. Just give me 2 minutes to get my nose up. And I might put my chili on as well, because it is a bit chilly. I am going to grab the top, so I'm a bit chilly. So this morning, I want to just really share from my heart, really. I don't think I know any other way, I suppose, really, for those of you that know me. But I guess for many of you will be aware that for Hannah and I to get to the point we got to have Jacob, it was a long journey. It was a long journey. There was lots of ups and downs, an awful lot of downs, but then one magnificent up, which outweighed all the downs, and that was obviously having Jacob. But it was a journey, and it was quite a painful journey. We went through quite a roller coaster. In total, probably about 9 years. It was probably about 9 years that we went through a lot of treatment, a lot of support, but the compassion and the love that we had from our friends that our nearest and dearest was incredible. So, I told myself I wouldn't cry, but now I thought, you know me. We can avoid it and cry. It's not a problem. It's okay, it's not an issue. But I just want to share from my heart, really, because throughout this whole journey, what Hannah and I have experienced is we've seen how God's grace has been laced through our entire life, not just the last 9 years, but through every step we've taken, through every issue we've been through. We've seen God's faithfulness, God's grace. God is preparing the way, and His plan is perfect. His timing is perfect. And that reassurance and that security that we felt having God through this journey has been amazing. And being able to reflect on that, just look at what God has done, has been wonderful. And so I'm wanting to share from that sort of place today, that position, if that's okay. And like I said, I'm sharing from my heart here, so if I pause and take a deep breath, you know what's happening. Talk amongst yourselves, and I'll come back to mine at some point. So my story starts, where all good stories start, in a curry house called the Jubarash, what we're like. So for those of you that don't know it, you need to get there. They do the Murg Merge Masala, it's fantastic. It's shredded chicken and mint, like a masala sauce. Oh, it's fantastic. Anyway, get yourself there. So we were there having a curry with Hannah's mum and dad, and we were sort of long into the journey by this point, and we were talking about, you know, what we've been through, and we were just discussing it quite openly with the family. And I think Hannah's dad said something along the lines of, back in, we were kind of referring to what it would have been like 30, 40 years ago, and John said something like, well, back in my day, it was the women that did all that kind of thing, and it was the men just kind of went along with it. And Hannah and I both instantly said, well, that was never the case for us. That was never the case for us. And it took me back to being 11 years old, right? And did any of you ever do those really pointless careers tests where they ask you all these questions and then it's going to tell you what you're going to be for the rest of your life at 11 years old? Like, you know what's going on at 11 years old anyway. But one of the questions was, what do you want to be when you grow up? As an 11-year-old, I can remember thinking, writing down, I want to be a father. Pardon? You wanted to be a mum. So even then, I look back on that and I thought, I was 11. I didn't really know what was going on at that stage, but there was something in me. God had placed something in me that wanted to love and care, that wanted to reach out. And it wasn't anything that I made up within myself to do that. It was something that God had birthed within me, something that God had created. And then when I look at my life from that kind of point on, I look at all the things that happened. I remember my dad foster caring from such a young age. The kid, no, I was a young age, that's it. They've always been older than my parents, but I'm sure they weren't at some point. So I can remember mum and dad foster caring. And I don't know if they did this in this day and age, I wonder if they would kind of go to prison. But they would leave me to look after some of these kids that we were caring for. You might be upstairs, but I might have a skewed memory of it. But I remember being left to care for some of these kids, and I loved it. I absolutely loved it. This one lad in particular, I remember Matthew. He had a sort of terrible life. At the age of sort of 5 and 6, he figured out how to break out of his bedroom, climb onto a roof, run down the street. He was in an absolute... And I love spending time with him. I love just being with him and caring for him and just spending time with him. I remember a young lady, Olivia, we used to foster for, and she forgot me in a cupboard. And I used to be there for hours, literally hours, not joking. At that point, I was looking after her on my own, can I just add? So she used to lock me in the cupboard, and I didn't know what was going on, just kind of went along with it. And it turned out that that's what she did when she liked people, because she didn't want you to go away, so she'd lock you in the cupboard. So, you know, yeah, that was great. So, kind of look at this whole kind of journey I went on of kind of caring for kids. And then I got into the job that I got into. I didn't even know youth work existed until the age of about 19. I've been doing it for like 2 years. James and I set up Heatwave when I think James were 18, I was 17, something like that. And we set Heatwave up, and we were running a youth provision from the age of 17 and 18. And I just wanted, I just sowed my life into this. I just had a real sense of connection, a real sense of blessing. And it wasn't, there's always that internal, you get that internal gratification. When you do something for others, there's always a little bit, you always get a good feeling yourself. There's always a, I just wanted to give out. And I didn't know what God was doing at the time, but all the way through this, God was just giving me that capacity to care, was showing me Him through the relationships that I was building with these kids. God was showing me what it was to be tolerant, what it was to be patient, what it was to be kind, what it was to care. And over time, the nature of the young people that I've supported with over the time has just got more and more complex, more and more challenged. Even this week, has been a tough week. We've been dealing with not just kids, but members of staff that are facing child sort of sexual abuse from a young age, and it's only now coming to the forefront. We're working through that. We're working with kids, teenagers that are in domestically violent relationships and feel so locked in, they don't know how to escape. These are broken kids, and they react in the most violent and volatile way. But you know what's at the end of that? What's at the beginning of that? Something that's so scared, that just wants to cuddle and wants to be loved. And they're telling society, they're telling the world, just get away from it, just back off, I'm going to do everything to make you hate me because I hate myself. And the majority of the world does. We don't like those people that are very unlikable. But when you strip all that back, when you get to know what's going on in these people's lives, you realise that they're just really, really scared people. And I just reflect on all of this and thinking, you know, on one hand, Hannah and I, we kind of like, we laugh, think, you know, we really want to be parents. Hannah's got her own story, but, you know, we really want to be parents. And we were surrounded by kids day in, day out. Hannah set up the theatre school, Shine, which just, if I talk about it, I will be blubbering because it's amazing what God did there. But we're surrounded by kids day in, day out, but yet we couldn't have our own child. We couldn't have our own kid. And so, in one sense, it was like, oh, God, what are you doing? But in another sense, it was like God was preparing the way for us. God was showing us what He had in store for us. And through that journey, I just want to kind of draw to attention some kind of key points with it. And what I'm hoping to kind of express clearly today is everything comes down to this relationship you have with Jesus. Everything comes down to our relationship with Jesus Christ. You strip everything back, you know, we can have all these really good systems, we can have all these really kind of nice ways of doing things. We can have people that, you know, great thing about WhatsApp is you can kind of keep in touch. I've not been able to go to life group today, but I've been kept in touch with what's been going on, and it's been great. I'm reading Colossians. And Paul says in Colossians, be careful the person that puts together a very well-constructed word. It can look nice, it can look adequate, but at the end of the day, if it doesn't bring us back to this relationship with Jesus, it's all meaningless. And that's what's really, really resounded in my life and my heart over these last 5 years, is how amazing Jesus is. Jesus is as the person, as my friend, as somebody that I can relate to, somebody that will relate to me. And that's what I want to point everything towards. So I think that the PowerPoint was up, but now it's gone. I've got a clicker. So, I've got my notes. So Christ is your maker. So if you have got a Bible, you want to look at it, Jeremiah 29, Psalm 139, the two really, oh, thank you, Sam. Really, here we are. So Jeremiah 29, these are kind of classic verses really, but Jeremiah talks about God having a plan for us, God knowing the way, and the plans for us are good, the plans are to see us prosper. Psalm 139 talks about us being fearfully and wonderfully made. God knows every single hair on our head. Now the reason I want to start with that point is because I want you to know that God knows you. God knows you. Christ knows you. He's aware of you, and He is aware of you because He is your maker. He made you. be knitted together in your mother's womb. He formed your inner being. And if your inner being, not just your sinews and your limbs, but your character, your personality, how you tick, God knows the journey that you're going to go on. God knows who you are now, who you will be 3, 4, 5 years' time. And God knows exactly what to do to lead you on the path that He wants to lead you on to get to where you need to be. And that's just a really important sort of starting point for me, because that kind of captures the first point I was trying to express there, which is about God knew me. God knew the type of person that I am. I'm quite an emotional person. I'm quite an experiential person. I like to kind of, I very much like to do things. I like to be quite physically active. God knew that. So God had a plan. God had a design. But also God knew that it would be hard for me to walk away from something that I was involved in. So being involved in Heatwave all these years, being involved in the youth work I'm involved in, that's a 24/7 job. You can't just walk away from that. That's evenings, that's weekends, that's all the time. And that's still hard now. I still feel drawn into it. I still feel very drawn into it. But I'm now at a place where I can walk away from that, because the work that the guys are doing is amazing. I wasn't there myself, but Chloe and a lot of the guys took a lot of the Heatwave guys to the Higher Tour gig on Friday night. As far as I'm aware, some of the young people gave their lives to the Lord that night. They made a decision, which is just incredible. Now, we have to pray for those kids. We have to hold on to those kids, because those kids might need to go to an altar call 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 times. Because they've made a decision, and then they're straight back into that world. It's pulling them away from Christ. But we know God is faithful. We know God is good. So let's just keep those kids. You don't need to know their names. You don't need to know who they are. But just keep praying for them. I'm going to pray for them now, but that's all right. Father, we just thank you so much for the kids that come here on Friday night, Lord, and for those that made a decision. Lord, we just pray that you would reveal yourself to them in a powerful way. Lord, that you would have them in. Lord, that you would hold them close. Lord, that decision that they've made, Lord, I pray that, Lord, it would have been sincere. You would just be near them. Protect them, I pray. Lord, I pray for opportunities for Christians just to speak into their life, to meet with them, to build them up. And for us as a church, Lord, help us to hold that in our hearts.
Yeah.
Lord, it's all, everything is first and foremost in the spiritual realm, Lord. And that's where we stood right now. We stood there praying for these guys, Lord, asking you to hold on to them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's just absolutely phenomenal that happened, you know, but that's been built over years. And that's building a team, that's building a connection, that's building a family. We moved from King Coyne to Fairwater in 2013. I can't believe it was 2013. The January we got the building, we were in by the October, we had our first Christmas in that room. In 2013, that's mad. But God knows, God is your maker. So there are times when you feel quite isolated. You might feel like, well, God doesn't know where I'm at. God knows exactly where you're at, because God made you. God made you. God knows when He needs to pick you up and carry you. Footprints in the sand. God knows when He needs to pick you up and carry you. God knows when He can push you. God knows when He needs to hold you and draw you close. But God will never push you beyond what you can't do. He will never push you beyond what you can't cope with. But He knows you. He is your maker. He is your maker. And that's such a powerful thing to know. The next thing that we kind of learn through the journey, here we go. Isaiah 40, God is your strength and your protector. Those who hope in the Lord. You will grow weary, you will grow faint. But those who hope in the Lord will have the power restored and renewed, and they will rise on the wings of eagles. Not only will God give you the power that you need in your situation in your life right now, but He will cause you to rise on the wings of eagles. He will lead you into the heavenly places. And that's just something that's been so powerful really and relevant to me. And
one of the brats I'm talking about.
It got to a point when we were in the car, and Hannah and I reached the point where we truly, truly felt in our heart that we gave it over to God. We said, God, if we're never to have kids, we believe in you. We believe in you. Now, I'm not saying it's a pen in the slot, you get what you want out. I'm not saying there's a magic equation. That if you press it into God for something, and you give it up, you'll get that gain. I'm not saying that. I am not saying that it is a magic equation. It's a journey of faith. It's a walk with God. That's the most important thing. It's fixing your eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of your faith. He knows you, and you will journey with Him in the way that is right, in the way that He knows you. For Hannah and I, that was getting to that place, and we were in the car, and it was real. It was real. We reached the place where we truly laid it down. We truly laid it down. And that is years of desiring a family, years of wanting children, years of wanting to have a little baby. We laid it down. We said, God, we give it to you. We give it to you. We lay it down. And it was really, really tough to do that. It was really, really painful. But this is what came to me in abundance. He is my strength, and he is my protector. You will grow stumbled. You will grow weary. You will stumble. You will fall. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the furnace. They did not go in the furnace. They went into the furnace. They went into the fire. But Jesus stood with them in the fire. You know? And that's what happened. That's what I found happened. We stumbled and we fell. But yeah, what happened is you put your hope in Jesus. That's what the verse is. You put your hope in the Lord. We put our hope in him. It's not hope for things. It's hope in him. It's hope in our Maker, who is Jesus Christ. And as a result of that, he restored us. And he brought us up on the wings of eagles. Now that bringing us up on the wings of eagles wasn't having a kid. It was a greater revelation of Jesus. His love, his compassion, his heart towards us. That's what it was. That's what rising on the wings of eagles. It wasn't about an output or an outcome. It was getting closer to Jesus. It was trusting in him more. It was relying in him more. So I really kind of want to, I hope that comes across clearly. It's not about penny and stop. It's not about you hit certain tickets. It's about, I want to connect to Jesus Christ. I want to connect to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and have a relationship with him. I want my every step, my every interaction to be governed by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's what that was about. And that really kind of helped us through that period. Well, helped me through that period, really. And you know, so Christ is he knows you, he's your Maker, he's your strength, he's your protector. He's also your leader and your guide, Proverbs 3, many of you will know this. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Now there's a link between all these things, because you might think you know what your path is. You might think you know what your plan is. I had a plan. By the age of 21, I'd be married. Wasn't quite 21, I was 23, that's okay. I built some tolerance zones, that was okay, that was fine. Those are the project managers speaking like that. And then by the age of 25, I'd be a father. That was the plan. And I'd have a job that involved wearing a suit. Can you believe it? I've got one suit, and I literally spray painted depending on the occasion. That was my plan. That was my vision. I had this concept of what success looked like. I had this concept of what was right, what was good, what was proper. But over time, I learned to realize that God had a greater purpose, a greater plan, a greater design. And do you know what? I used to really struggle with Matt Redman's song, "You Must Increase, I Must Decrease." There was a point where I really struggled with that. It was based on the writings of John, where it said, "I must decrease so that Christ would increase me, increase in me." Also, I don't agree with that. I am the apple of God's eye. You know, his strength is perfected in my weakness. And God wants me to be a conqueror. I am a mighty conqueror. I'm a, you know, they were in my younger days, my naive days. But what I learned through this period of time is that true strength is birthed in true humility and true abandon. Laying your life down, giving your life up, is where you find your strength, because that is where Christ's strength is perfected. And this comes back to these points. We trust in the author and perfecter of our faith. We trust in Jesus. We put him first in all we do. So we lay everything down and we trust his path, knowing that he will lead us and he will guide us in paths of righteousness. He will restore our souls. He will lead us by the quiet streams when we need that restoration. He prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. You know, it's incredible when we think about it. And that really was quite powerful for me. And I found myself changing over time. And it was interesting because the more secure I felt in Christ, the more secure I felt in my relationship with Jesus, the more I could take. And for any of you who are in a position of leadership and have a lead people, which are doing work, you're a punching bag at time. You're literally just taking. And over time, taking, I felt God's strength increasing. As it increased, I laid it down. You start to get to the heart of the matter, which is the matter of the heart, which is a phrase I use quite a lot here. But start to see people, where people were at, what people were going through. Start to see what people face. I've got, you know, I work with a team in Torbay, New Zealand. I've worked with them now for since 2011. I love them, and I tell them I love them. You know, I broke down in tears at training over the summer, telling them how much I love them and how much I love the kids. And I walked away from that thinking, oh, I cry for you lot, I don't cry for work. That's not something I do. And that moved me, that kind of, I found that quite a challenge. But again, it was a revelation of the Father's heart of Jesus Christ and his love for us, which is why through everything we go through, it's about who is Jesus, who's connected to Jesus, this person Jesus. Do we believe who he says he was? Do we believe he was the Son of God? If so, then we follow and trust in him. We choose to lay down our way of life and our way of living, and we completely trust in him. And as a result of trusting in him and leaning on him, then that we can decrease. Because then what God does is pull us into and draw us into a fullness and a wholeness and a completeness that we could never achieve on our own. But that begins with that sacrifice. And it's become clearer and clearer that the strongest people I know are the gentlest people I know. The strongest people I know are the most compassionate and caring people I know. And that's what kind of God taught us through in that journey. I've hit that point in work now where kids are coming back to say hello and they've got kids. That's quite scary. So even the teaching profession that we're in that, I've had that interaction. The first time that happened, you go, oh my goodness, I'm getting old. And that's quite terrifying. But what was amazing is, I don't know, go away and think about this yourself. I never walk into a relationship or a friendship thinking, how can I change you? How can I develop you? How can I better you? How can I make you more? I don't go into a relationship thing that. I go into a friend relationship, I want to be your mate, I want to know you. Let's be friends. Let's find out. Let's just find out about each other. Let's do life together. Let's kind of enjoy one another's company. Let's just connect and be together. That's very much the attitude I've always taken to working in youth work. I don't go into work with young people thinking, I've got the power to change you. If I have, it's because it's God given. Any authority I have is because God has given it me, not because I've drugged it up myself. But when you see these kids coming back to you saying, oh, do you remember that? Do you remember that? Do you remember when you said this? Do you remember when you did that? And I was like, oh, I don't remember saying that or doing that, but I'm glad you enjoyed it. You realise that how you can kind of, you can leave a legacy in people depending on how you interact, how you relate with them, and how you connect with people. And if you love people and you give your heart to people, you won't just change their life, you'll change the lives of their families and their friends. If you show Jesus Christ to people, if you invest first and foremost in your relationship with Jesus and think, Jesus, I want to be in a relationship with you, I want to know you, I want to spend time with you, I want to understand you, all of these are characteristics of Christ. I want to understand who you are, and I want to understand then how I relate to you, what my position is to you. And then, Father, make me Christ-like for the people that I come into contact with. And you will leave a legacy as you press to God, as you go through this furnace, as you go through this fire, as you remember that God is my maker, so everywhere I go out with him. Times in the footprints in the sand, there's times he'll lift you, there's times when you go out on a limb, you know. But he is your strength, your protector. He will always be protecting you, he will always be upholding you. And he will lead you and guide you where you need to be. It's always with you. Psalm 121 talks about, I look to the hills from where does my strength come? My strength comes from the Lord. God is always with you through every circumstance and every situation you face. God is always with you. God is always near you. I think for me this was very powerful in my dreams, which was it's a hard thing to describe. For 9 years, I couldn't escape. You can't escape when you're. I realize I'm pacing. Sorry, that might put some people up. You can't escape your inner thoughts when you put your head on your pillow. Some people just fall straight asleep if you do. Fantastic, well done for you. But for me, I can't. You can't escape the inner workings of your heart and your mind when you put your head on a pillow, I find. And for 9 years, it was hard to focus on what we didn't have. It was hard not to ignore that pain. In the business and the day-to-day of life, you can do that. You can ignore. You can ignore that, you can get stuck into life, you can work 12, 13, 14 hours a day, you can do all these things. But when you put your head on the pillow, you can't escape the truth in your circumstances. For 9 years, my dreams were dark, they were quite dark. And, It was only when we got Jacob that the contrast revealed how kind of dark they were. And sleep was an issue, sleep was a problem. It was painful. I would avoid going to sleep. I'd stay up as late as I could because I didn't want to go into that world that I didn't have that control over. I didn't have that capacity to manage. And it wasn't until Jacob was born and just... Jacob wrestled with God and he said, I won't go until you bless me.
Jacob is the living embodiment of God's blessing, not just in him, but in the sacrifice that he made so that I can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. The living embodiment of what it is to rest with God. And it wasn't until I'd come through that, I went to bed. Exhaustion probably kicked in a bit, so I recognise that, because you do stay up. Anyway, that good, you know, you do stay up quite late. But all of a sudden, I realised that those times, God had been carrying me. God had been carrying me. And that was something that changed my heart. I'm not going to be able to write you an essay on it. I'm not going to be able to draw you a lovely picture or give you like some kind of Venn diagram. But God did something unchangeable in my heart that revealed more of his character to me, more of his nature to me, his compassion and his love. And I realized that at that point, I have never, ever, ever felt so close to Jesus in the hardest of times. In the hardest times. Has anyone got a tissue? Sorry. I'm still that like, school kid at heart that just kind of does that with his arm.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you.
Has anybody else need a tissue? Sorry. Well, they smell nice. They scented.
They're really, really good. Where was I?
Yeah, living in the body, but blessed. God was always with me through that time. And what really kind of struck me that time is, again, reflecting on it, you guys spoke into my life. You were poignant in what you said and what you did. And there were times where I realized God's closeness when just day-to-day interactions with the people that I know love me and that I love. And it was amazing how God shows how he works in community. He's always with you in the family as well. So I'm going to give some sort of kudos to people here, and I've already had a chat to Steve about what Steve did, but Sam, I don't know if Sam realised he did this, looks a bit nervous now. But Sam and I, we messaged each other back and forth, just saying, how are you doing? You know, we just want to bless you, we share verses and things like that. And Sam's amazing at picking songs, and he sent me this song by a band, Mercy Me, and the song was Even If. So do any of you know the song Even If by Mercy Me? It's an amazing song. And Sam didn't know what we were going through at the time, but Sam sent that to me. Sam, you responded to a prophetic utterance from God there in the spirit, and that was so important in my life at that time. So just, I want to give you kudos for that incredible what you did, responding to God there, and that was just amazing. But the song is basically, it says, even if, Father, you can move mountains, but even if you don't, I'm going to trust in you alone. And that song, I just had it on repeat, 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 repeat. I've got like... I was watching on YouTube now and I was using up all my data, but I didn't care. And at that point, I realized Christ is not just with me on my own, in my own battles, but we sang it this morning, you know, Christ surrounds us by a great host of witnesses, but not only that, each other. We're speaking to each other. And if we're first and foremost thinking about other people and how we look at other people, do we want to be Christ-like to other people? We want to care, we want to love the people in that. I want to pray, I'm all over the place, sorry. I couldn't sing the song, Break My Heart for What Break Yours, for a long time. Because I prayed that. I prayed, God, break my heart for what breaks yours. And I was a broken mess. Let me just caveat, be careful what you pray for, because God might give you exactly what you pray for. And I couldn't sing that for a long time, break my heart for what break yours. And God just started showing me people. And as we love people, as we care for people, as we connect to people, God will give you things for other people. You may not know what you're doing, but it's the attitude, it's the heart that says, I want to love people. I want to care for people. I want to stand with people. I want to be Jesus to people. God will go, right, you will be. This is that. So
That was happening. There was another time where when I was reviewing with Steve the other night, and some of you may or may not be aware, but it was one worship morning. I think we'd gone through quite a bout. It was very, very difficult. We were both feeling very, very low at the time, and I was hosting, and Steve finished with the song, "Good, Good Father." I was just a mess. I was a complete mess. It was the last song, and I couldn't sing that for a while because I thought, oh, I'm never going to be a good, good father. I just couldn't sing it. I spoke with Steve afterwards, and it was interesting because Steve was saying he never planned to play that. For those of you that know Steve, Steve is a very organized and planned young man. And he said it wasn't even on the backup list. It was not on any list. But something in his heart prompted him to play that song. Now, God would have worked through all of us through that song. Right there, right there. I just felt like the spotlight was on me. And God was saying, I still got you. I still love the desires of your heart. I'm still standing with you. And God spoke to me through Steve. So Steve, thank you for responding to God's heart again and just bringing that song. And it just reminds me that God is always with us. God is always with us through every situation that we go through. And it's often not till we're through it that we realize what we've been through and how God has been there. Because God is gentle, loving, compassionate. I think of, it's quite funny, well, we've got a bit of a funny phrase with Jacob. I say to Hannah, does Jacob need some assertive love, which basically squeezes him until he falls asleep? Now, that's a strange thing. For those of you that have got kids, you realise there's times where they don't know what's good for them. As adults, we don't always know what's good for us. But as a child, you know their tired, you can see the signs, so you've just got to hold them in close, and you've just got to hold them. And there's a firmness to it, but there's a real gentleness to it as well. And I know some of you will understand that. And again, God just spoke to me through that. He has firmly got you. So there is security in that. There is security in that. It's firm. There's no dropping you, but it's gentle. And that's God's loving nature. And it's for our good that He does all these things. And God is always by our side. This is my final point. God is your provider. Matthew 6. This is a verse I wrote on my wall when I was about 19, and God, Jesus is saying to the Sermon on the Mount, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will care for itself. Tomorrow has enough worries and stresses. Just concern yourself with today. It says, look how the lilies of the field are clothed. Solomon in all his might was never clothed as beautifully as these lilies. God is the provider. God will give you all you need when you need it, in the way that you need it. And it's coming back to that point of realizing that, yeah, so God knows what you need and when you need it. And it's not in your plan, it's not in your design, it's not in your way. And that's tough because we like to know what's going on. We like to know where life is going to take us. And that can be quite difficult. And it struck me again about what faith is. And when I was thinking about this and thinking about our providers, faith is not something we can drum up. It's not something we can create. It's a gift. It's a gift from God. And it's not faith for, it's faith in. So it's not faith for this or faith for that or faith for the clothes we're going to get. It's faith in Jesus Christ. And so what I've realized more and more over time is I look at our lives and I look at where we are now and I think, if somebody had told me when I was, I don't know, 20, no, well, 11 when I wrote, you're going to be a father. Somebody said to you, Dave, when you turn 37, you're going to be the father to a beautiful young lad called Jacob. You're going to be married for 40-ish years. I know when we got married, I just can't remember your maths. I was there. You'll have a lovely house, you'll have a great set of friends, you'll have worked at a job that you love. You're right with that? I probably would have said, yeah, that sounds good. I would have learned nothing. I would have learned nothing about the nature of God. I would have learned nothing about the nature of Jesus. And every step of the way, Jesus has just given me what I needed in His way and His time. And it's been right, it's taking that step, and that's that step of faith. I suppose I like to sort of see things visually. It's that shifting of your head looking down, thinking, all right, where's the path, which way do I go to go? I look at Jesus. Whatever is in front of me, I'm just going to keep my eyes on Jesus. I'm going to keep fixed on Jesus. And so in all of these things, as I kind of sort of coming to, and there's just the references and the statements there if anybody would like them.
it all comes down to is just, like, I really love Jesus. I really love Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. He is now seated next to God, interceding on my behalf daily. And Jesus is the fullness of, it's hard to describe how good it is. He's my friend, he's my creator, he's my confidant, he's my support, he's my healer, he's my king, he's my captain, he's my mate, he's everything. But all fullness can be found in Jesus Christ. And, you know, if you remember nothing from what I've said this morning, that's absolutely fine. But just remember this, go out and find Jesus. Find Jesus. Jesus is the most important thing. Scripture comes to life when we realize that it all points to Jesus. It all points to Jesus Christ. And then how we relate to Jesus and then how we relate to others, that kind of flow is so, so important. And yeah, it's been a bit of a journey, but looking back to when I was 11, when we were foster caring, the job that I was in, how the church has developed, what God has taught me, what God has taught us, I just realized God's hands of grace and mercy have been on our life throughout. It's been absolutely incredible. And, you know, I unashamedly now show everyone hundreds of photos every time. Not of Jacob, just of scenery. Not of Jacob, of course. Of course, of Jacob. But it's perfect. It's perfect. God's plan is perfect. God's plan is amazing. And it's just been such a wonderful, painful, hope-filled, sorrow-filled, tear-filled, laugh-filled journey that I know is only sort of just beginning. And what I wanted to do is sort of share some encouragement with you today. I was really hoping that anybody that's not here would kind of sort of switch off. I'm hoping that I've not done that, but it's really that relationship with Jesus, the most important thing, that connection with Jesus, who he is, and really just wanted to wrap some testimony around it. So I'm just going to pray. I'm going to end it there. I'm going to invite the guys back up and hand it over to you guys. Father, I just want to thank you that in all things you're faithful, in all things you're good. Lord, that you do know the path that you set before us. Lord, that you do know the ups and the downs and the turmoil that we're going to face, Lord. But at every step of the way, you're with us, you're for us. You're drawing near to us, drawing us near to you, Lord. And I just thank you for my own testimony, Lord, that you are such a good God, you're such a good Father, Lord, that you are our everything, Lord. And I just pray that, Lord, for me and for everybody else here, Lord, that we would just seek you first. That we would just seek you first, Lord, that we do, Lord, that we would put you first, Lord. And that, Lord, that our hearts would be open to have a revelation of your character, of your nature, of who you are. And Lord, as we see that, as we see a greater revelation of who you are, Lord, give us a greater revelation of how we can love others, how we can give our hearts to others, Lord, how we can look to show others